Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back, we are back. And I am freaking exhausted, as you could tell. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself, the MVP of all Super Bowls. I am the greatest of all time. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the greatest coach, the best cheater in the world, the one, the only...
Short Black in the building. Oh, I got to be the greatest cheater now. How do I follow that up?
You're a good coach. What can I say? You love to cheat.
Speak for yourself.
I have to give you credit. You don't give up. No matter how much time is left on the clock, you find a way to pull back through and go all the way. How you doing?
How you doing?
All right, guys.
Are we missing somebody?
Are you surprised?
I guess we're doing a two-man show tonight, huh?
Yeah, she does two men. We do the show by ourselves. So what's the difference?
She's gonna kick you.
I know. So ladies and gentlemen, the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. And I guess this person must have heard me cursing her name out. So hold on one second. And we have the third caller.
You're a jackass.
Oh, brother. How are you doing?
Hey. I'm good. How are you guys? How are you doing this evening?
We're all alive and breathing. I think that's the most important thing right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Tell the people exactly who you are for those that know the voice but don't remember the name.
Hey, guys. It's Anitra.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in, and I know we're exhausted, but I think we still need to find the energy to piss some people off. Are you guys ready?
Oh, I'm definitely
ready. Of course.
All right. Wow, there's so much to talk about. I don't know where to begin, but yes, I will address the Super Bowl later on tonight. But first, Sean Black.
Yes.
There was a case that happened 6 months ago about a jogger up in Bell Parkway in Brooklyn that got murdered. And it was a big deal. I know we talked about it on the show a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And we think the case was a little bit suspect. For those that you don't know or don't recall, Sean, can you explain a little bit about what happened?
Sure. Back in August 2nd, a woman who was jogging by the name of Karina Vitrano was jogging out near Howard Beach, which is, for a lot of people that may be listening outside of the New York area, is a pretty affluent area that people that have money live in. She went jogging near her home there. Eventually, she went missing. Nobody knew what happened to her, but later on, her body was found in a marshy area. And she had been sexually assaulted. And if I'm not mistaken, she was found by her father, right?
Yeah, by
uh-huh.
her father.
Yes.
Up in a grass area, like on the side.
Yeah, grassy
somewhere.
Area, yeah, right, not that far away from the home. Now, the days and the weeks that followed up, the community and the family basically said, we're going to try and get a reward, find tips, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We wanted to find out who murdered her. How did this happen? They got reward money was like up to $275,000. Now we're talking 6 months later, and the police arrested a person by the name of Chanel Lewis, a 20-year-old with no criminal priors, charged with second-degree murder in connection with Vitrano's death. Now the crazy part about this is, like we just said before, there isn't a whole lot known about Chanel Lewis other than the fact that he's unemployed. He lives with his mother. This is what the police are saying. He doesn't have a criminal record, but the police identified three quality of life summonses that go back to 2013 that he received around the Howard Beach crime scene area. So who knows what's going on with that? It's amazing that we've gone really 6 months without hearing anything other than the fact that the woman that was jogging went missing. Nobody knew of her whereabouts. They knew she liked to jog in the area at nighttime or early in the morning, and then disappeared. And then the body is found by the father. Yet 6 months later, we now have a suspect who nobody knew anything about.
Well, they didn't release to the media. It's not to say nobody knew anything about.
Yes.
You know that the precincts do not, when they're investigating a case, they don't release they only release little tidbits to the media. They don't release everything to the media, so we don't know exactly what they have and have not been working on.
Of course. Now, the case was being followed on, I don't know if you've ever watched a show called Crime Watch Daily, that comes on, depending on what time period you're in. In the New York area, it comes on, I think, at 1 in the afternoon or 12 in the afternoon. And it's hosted by Chris Hansen, who is the guy that used to be on Dateline NBC that would go and catch pedophiles. He hosts the show. Documented the case over the last few months. As a matter of fact, they've really been documenting this case since sometime in September. But they have like a timeline as far as what happened and how we got to this point. I already told you before what we know about the suspect, so nobody really knows much about him. But this is kind of like the timeline involved. So Vitrano's 30 years old. She went for a jog on August 2nd, about 5 in the evening, which is fairly common for her because the police basically were saying she was a jogger, she liked to run. She texted her best friend and that the phone was swabbed for DNA. So they checked DNA on the phone to make sure it was her. She didn't return home that night. Her family started to worry. They started to search for her after she didn't return any phone calls or texts and then discovered her body 4 hours later. She was found face down in a marshy area 15 feet from a trail that's near 161st Street, or 161st Avenue and 78th Street in Spring Creek Park, which is in the Howard Beach area. In the days afterwards, the police started to recover DNA from her neck, under her fingernails, basically the normal stuff that the detectives do to see if she was attacked, if she was raped, et cetera, et cetera. The chief of detectives had said that the police spoke to several people involved in her personal life, an ex-boyfriend, et cetera, people that they said they didn't have any evidence, visual, video, or otherwise, showing anyone following her. Now, that was on August 2nd. August 18th, the father, Vitrano's father, said that the police were close to catching the killer and basically appealed to the family of the suspect and urged them to take the reward money raised, which at the time was, I believe, started at $25,000 and started to accrue. On the 18th of August, Vitrano's father said that they were getting close. Please help us out. The 31st of August, the police did a sketch of a possible witness. On the 12th of September, which is now a whole month later, they published video surveillance that showed Vitrano running on a street adjacent to the park. So they said it didn't provide any clues, but it showed exactly what was going on as far as her jogging, et cetera. And they were looking to sort of catch a break in the case because they didn't know what was going on. So they had received at least 170 calls and 12 tips to open the investigation. They took one person into custody later on that month. His name was Michael Fox. They said he was taken into custody after he was found naked and ranting in the same marshy park where Vitrano was killed. They swabbed his DNA. It didn't match any of the samples, so they continued on with the investigation, and it details up to what we know now, which is basically we've got this person named Chanel Lewis, no criminal record other than what I explained, and it leaves a lot of questions involved. And I'm pretty sure, Hot Rod, you have a lot of questions.
Well, Anitra, you saw the guy. Do you think we don't know the whole answer? We know that already. I'm sure there's more story that we know. Do you think he did it?
I don't know. There's no way for me to. There's no way for anyone to answer that. That's why there's a trial. That's why everyone will defend or make like that's the point of the trial. We don't know. No one can answer that question. We don't know this guy. The fact that he didn't have a career record doesn't mean anything. Because if he did do this, that just means he hasn't been caught yet.
Well,
if he didn't do this and they're wrong, then he'll move on. But if he did do this, the fact that he doesn't, like I said, the fact that he doesn't have a criminal record is irrelevant. There are plenty of assholes out there that do stupid shit and just have not got caught yet.
I cannot disagree with that. But ladies and gentlemen, if you look at this gentleman, this kid who's 20 years old, who we don't know nothing about him. But if you look at him already, he looked very lost coming out. Like he seemed like he had like a mental issue. So if the family, well, I'm sure they don't have enough money because of the location where they live at, they could get a good lawyer to defend him.
They're gonna get a good lawyer. This is gonna be a huge case.
This is a huge case, and Nico plead mental illness or whatever. Because you could see there was something not right with his boy. Only thing I'm saying is, I'm like, wait a minute. Out of nowhere, yes, there was DNA testing, and he just confessed without a lawyer, just like that. I'm like, you know, like we're going by what the media or what the police report tell us. And I even went to a police officer that worked at my job. He told me, Rodney, I will tell you the truth. If the DNA is there, it's there. Is there more to the story? Yes. I don't know because I'm retired. But, yes, stuff like this happen all the time. Where they just pick a body. Here you go. Sean Black did it. Let's move on. And
That's
what, yes. So this is what, and you see on social media, not everyone's buying this case. They say something fishy about this story. Like from the beginning, like all the facts that you stated, Sean, it doesn't add up. And even this made this case even more weirder. Like, wait a minute, this random black guy up in Howard Beach? Sean Black and I does not belong in Howard Beach, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but Howard Beach is right outside of the ghetto. It's not uncommon that he would have been walking. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not 100% uncommon if you know where Howard Beach is located.
True, but
you can walk
to
Howard Beach from East New York. You can walk to Howard Beach from parts of Jamaica. You can walk to Howard Beach. Like, it's in the middle. Like,
yes.
So it's not really uncommon.
Yeah, but Anitra B,
the country that may be listening to us outside of the New York tri-state area, Howard Beach is an affluent section in the Queens borough of New York. And
it's right outside the ghetto.
Yes, it's kind of like on the cusp. It's just
exactly.
Right there. So
it's a little rich neighborhood right outside the ghetto. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so imagine the ghetto is Mexico. Howard Beach is United States. You don't cross over just like that, okay?
But people do all the time. What are you talking about?
No. In Howard Beach, there's a lot of racism down there. A lot of racist people down there with dominant white and dominant Italian people. Mafioso. You should know. You're part of them.
Yeah, I'm not, but continue.
No. When you go to Howard Beach, that session, they know almost everybody. They know when you are a stranger.
It's a small community, yeah.
Okay. So you tell me, you see a black man that look around like look lost, they're not going to say something or call the cops or use a bat and then beat him up? No.
I'm sure they would.
Well, we definitely know during the mid to late 80s and the early 90s, there were a lot of news articles, especially in the New York area, of a lot of racial crimes and discrimination that happened to African Americans and Hispanics that went into Howard Beach. And we all know about people that have been murdered in Howard Beach because of certain things that have happened to them. So I think the thought process that Hot Rod is alluding to is the fact that there has always been a mindset of unrest toward minorities either going into the neighborhood or being near the neighborhood. So I think the question is, Yes. And that's what the question is. One, how long was this Chanel Lewis person, how long was he in the neighborhood, if he was indeed there? What do they have on him to make him the lead suspect? Did he turn himself in? Was he turning himself in?
They say it was a stop and frisk. I thought stop and frisk is illegal now.
Well, from what I was last seen. Okay. From,
yeah, I thought so too.
When de Blasio became mayor, our mayor de Blasio took over as mayor in New York City, he made stop and frisk, which is the practice of basically racial profiling or profiling of anybody. To just put your hands, if the police think they have reasonable cause or plausible reason to see if you are a suspect, they can just pull you over to the side, stop you, frisk you, check you, and then say, okay, we don't need you, you're off. That was made illegal in New York City. If he was a victim of a stop and frisk, then you've got a whole other can of worms to answer for. Now, one, do you have probable cause to do it, if that's the case? Number two, what information are the police going on to be able to actually do that? What description did they have other than the description that was made way back in December and back in September when this case started to pick up some steam?
Well, I just hope the media, which we know they will do this, turned it into a black versus white scenario.
Of course they're going to. They already have.
Because, once again, we have to play that storyline. Black kid from the ghetto or from the hood, poor black kid, uneducated, whatever, versus a rich white person that got killed.
Actually, no. They said that he is educated, very well educated. He's top of his class. He graduated. This kid's not stupid.
That's
he's
what
very
they
well educated.
We don't know. That's what they say.
No, they're saying they had a whole thing where the father, someone invited the news into his home to show them his academic awards and everything.
Anisha, if it's not from the absolute truth, I don't believe anybody anymore. If it's not from us,
I don't
believe it. The news is the worst information now to get. The news tells us what they want us to think. You know,
this
kid looked like
pictures.
A picture was worth 1,000 words. This kid looked like there's something wrong with him.
Oh, he could have just been a scared
kid. If I was arrested, I would probably look the same way too.
Exactly.
No. He looked lost and confused, like they beat the crap out of him or they gave him some drugs. Something like that.
Because he's being charged with a serious felony. Anyone would look like that.
Who's not used to
being arrested.
And then you also have to remember, like, with the background that I just brought up, the fact that it's an African-American in an affluent, rich neighborhood, and we know only what the press has given us, what the NYPD has brought to the forefront, to the news, that's been made public. We don't know anything else outside of that. So based on that, we can only go by those parameters and see where they're going to go. But we've seen this type of thing happen before in the past, where we have seen an affluent person in a particular neighborhood, something happens, they go missing, or they've been unfortunately raped or molested, murdered, dismembered, et cetera. And it's either an Italian, a white person, a Jewish person, and they find, through whatever the investigation goes, there is an African-American or Hispanic or any minority suspect. And before all of the information has been meted out, there is scorn and vitriol thrown in that person's direction. Until we know more, we have to find out, like you said before, we got to find out more information on the victim, the suspect. And find out where they're going to go from there.
Okay, well, I just want this city to go through hate again because we have enough hate going on in this world today.
Oh, yes.
But before we go on to the hate crime, we have to give the Muslim people their credit because here in New York, ladies and gentlemen, I believe last week Friday, they did a huge protest in a different way, which I think was more effective than any other protest. The Muslims, because of course they could not stand the ban on Donald Trump executive orders. they shut down their stores for maybe 8-9 hours and go protest in downtown Brooklyn. And when you went out and to the stores, you see that all the stores are closed down. Like, damn, where the hell are you gonna get your bodega sandwiches from now?
Yeah,
it's like, wow, these mothers own a lot of stores, so they wanted to sacrifice their money to show Trump and show the world that they are peaceful and they are not accepting this travel ban or this hate that's going on.
Yes.
Sean, do you think this protest was effective?
I only think it was effective if it did the bottom line being it took money out of the neighborhood. If anybody that has ever gone to a corner store or a bodega or a delicatessen in the New York area or maybe in whatever neighborhood you're from that you're listening to the show on, and you know for 24 hours, if it's one of those stores that are open, I say out of a 24-hour day, you're open 18 hours. You know how much money goes into liquor, lottery, delicatessen food, snacks, maybe the occasional aspirin if you need some sort of pain reliever if you're nowhere near a big-name store where you can get medicine from. That's a lot of money. And you figure, I forgot what the official number was of how many bodegas are actually in the New York City area, but if all of those close or a fraction of those close for 8, 9, 10 hours and that lost revenue is palpable, then they've made their message known that if you're going to mess with anybody, Muslim or otherwise, they've made their message known loud and clear. If you're going to hit us here, we're going to show you how inconvenient it can be to mess with us. And luckily for them, there was a stay put on the travel ban. So that travel ban was lifted, and people that couldn't get back into the country because of a federal court judge that said that this is unconstitutional, and it is now being held up in appeals until we figure out what's going to happen. And I think President Trump is going to say something about the appeal tomorrow. Do you know the kind of damage that can do if any one group that has money that is running any sections of a particular business back out and tell you that they're not going to make any money and they're not going to take your money? Oh, the economy? That's big.
Anitra?
Oh, I thought it was great. That was brilliant that they did that. I mean, the amount of money those stores bring in on a daily basis is obnoxious. And I guarantee the fact that they did close, they inconvenienced thousands of commuters, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes.
It was brilliant.
And I was in, I believe it was just Sunday, actually. I was in Manhattan. And I was walking around, and you could see where all the protests were. And it was actually not Saturday. It was a Saturday I was in Manhattan. And you could see all of the chalk demonstration that people wrote in the ground. Mike Pence, go home, talking about the vice president. Trump equals hate. All of these demonstrations that were put up. Muslims should love who they want. There were signs. And I was actually late getting home because of a lot of protests, they were keeping people from getting into the train stations because of the protests that they were doing in Manhattan. And it was a peaceful unrest, but it was an unrest that probably needed to be done based on the fact that Donald Trump and his administration did not fully think this entire thing through. And the result is all of the unrest that you've seen around the world, and it's only multiplied every day.
Well, like Adichie always say, you have someone with no political experience running the biggest job in the world right now. So he's just doing, he feels that he's doing what he wants, how he wants, whatever he wants, to whomever he wants.
Well, it also doesn't hurt that he's got Steve Bannon in his ear, who I had explained months ago about his background. So who's to say that Donald Trump isn't the puppet and Steve Bannon isn't the one pulling the strings? Who knows? Because
hey,
that whole outfit is a puppet show, it seems.
So you're saying that Steve Bannon is the president or the acting president?
I won't say he's the acting president, but I will probably say he has a lot of influence on a lot of what Donald Trump is doing, I would pretty much think.
Okay, well, so, Sean, since we talk about hate and since I hate a certain team and a certain player, but before I get into that, what is a hate crime, actually, the actual definition?
Okay, the actual definition of a hate crime, as opposed to what anybody would look at, is any crime, physical or mental, that discriminates against or harms one person. And it could be of a particular race, creed, or gender. At least that's in the eyes of the government. And I'm pretty sure that depending on where you go, the definition will change in certain areas, certain cities, because every state, city, county has their own definition of it. But that's pretty much the big and wide definition of a hate crime.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, last weekend in the New York City subways, there was some random person or people that was drawing swastikas on subway cars, and the writers got outraged by seeing this all over the place, over inside the subway train cars. So people got together, used hand sanitizer, whatever, and started cleaning them. And, you know, people recorded and posted on social media saying that this hate is not accepted in New York. I don't know if Anisha saw it on Facebook.
No, I saw it on the news.
It's amazing, not just a black or Muslim, even the Jews are being affected. Almost every type of culture or race is being affected by this so-called hate that's going on right now. Reason why we brought this up, the subject up about hate crime, because of Facebook situation that happened maybe last month, I believe, Sean?
Yes.
I forgot the story. I'm not going to lie because I'm tired.
Yes.
What happened in Chicago, I believe?
Yes. There was we were initially going to talk about this just a couple of weeks ago, but because of all of the craziness that had been happening with the Trump travel ban, we kind of had that on the back burner. We're coming back to it. But the story is of the special needs kid. I believe he's like 19 or 20 years old, I think. I can't remember his age. Was attacked by four African-Americans, all teenagers, mind you. He was allegedly lured away from where he was, and he was basically tied up, beat up, tortured. And the whole entire incident was on Facebook Live, where these African-American teens beat this kid up, pummeled him. Now, the reason why this is pertinent outside of the obvious is that the victim of this entire deal was, as I said, a special needs white kid. The four African-Americans, as they beat him up, were shouting racial epithets at him. Screw Trump. We don't like white folks, et cetera, et cetera. And as they were beating him up, it didn't matter that they beat him up and did it on Facebook. They were more concerned about getting likes. We don't have enough views, or we don't have enough likes on the channel, while they're beating him up. And as they begged the question that Hot Rod and I had brought this up, would this be considered a hate crime? Because we've talked about hate crimes before in the past, where it's usually a white man or a white woman having something with an African-American. We've had anybody doing something to a Jewish person, like you had alluded to with the swastikas. We've had instances where the gay, lesbian, transgender community have had things happen to them, and it's considered a hate crime. Here's the question with this. Would you, Anitra, or Hot Rod consider this a hate crime, or would you consider this just an abomination to somebody who was assaulted and then had this assault live, put on Facebook Live for the world to see?
Well, that depends. If they were being teenagers, like teenagers, and they were just being stupid and they just jumped the poor kid just to do it to get likes on TV, that's just assault. If they did it because he's white and disabled, then it's a hate crime. You have to look at the reasoning behind it. It would be if the roles were reversed. If there were four white teenagers and they went after a black kid, did they do it because he was black, or did they do it just because they were being assholes and he just happened to be there?
Well, you know what, Anita,
if his skin color had anything to do with it, it's a hate crime. If his skin color was irrelevant and he just happened to be there, then it's not a hate crime.
Well, I like that concept, Anita. Like, it was like the world been reversed. If it was four white kids and a black guy, the automatic we'd be thinking is a hate crime. But now it's reversed.
Oh, 100%.
Is it? I like to say more of a no than a yes. It's four stupid teenagers. Maybe take their anger out on Donald Trump or a poor little white kid, which he was friends with one of the teenagers. And which that's the weird part. They was hanging with each other for like a day or two, hanging around. So you being up on your friends, I just see stupidity overall than more of a hate crime on this. My thing is, why you want to broadcast this live? Like, let me go rob a bank right now and let me broadcast myself on social media what I'm doing.
Stupidity.
Or let me go kill someone and let me broadcast myself. Why is the mindset of people today that social media has to be part of our lives? I'm like, yes, I tell you the truth. Last night I was drinking, watching the game. I broadcast that. And I let a few words out of how I feel last night. I need to know what I'm talking about. But that's something... But that's like on a comic side, that's, you know, venting or whatever. But I'm
You're
not doing
harming
some,
anybody.
The only person I'm harming is myself with liquor in my system. But for me to harm anyone at all and to broadcast that and to say I'm not getting enough likes, and for the people that actually did click like, yeah, beat the crap out of that white guy, what is your mindset? Because we've gone through years of slavery and torture and beating from the white people. It gives us a right to return to a defenseless, mentally special need kid.
Well, here's something else to allude to that same point. There was a Super Bowl commercial that was very similar to that concept. And you probably remember this commercial, but they played it a couple times, where they had a bunch of bank robbers, or they weren't even bank robbers. They robbed a museum, and they had a bunch of rich things, I guess they were rich displays and gold trinkets, etc. They broke in, they broke out, and instead of, you know, doing what they needed to do, they called what would be assumed to be Uber for their getaway car. And as soon as they got in the car, the police surrounded them because it's on Uber. So it's the same kind of nonsense. It was a funny commercial that they showed. I believe it was probably a Geico commercial. But in general, how stupid must you be to do something that asinine and then think you can get away with it? Fast forwarding this right now, we have in a society, and we've hammered this point to the ground about social media and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all the other social media sites that are out there, that we have this society has this compulsive need to be the American Idol style of attention, where they have to have the instant gratification now. They think they're going to be stars. They think whatever they're doing is funny. And in general, we're now seeing people posting crimes. Now, to answer your question, Hot Rod, as far as this being a hate crime, hell yes, this is a hate crime. And I'm going to tell you why it's a hate crime. Forget about the fact that it is, we're talking about a white kid being beaten up by four African Americans. Without question, They're spewing racial epithets at him as they're beating him up. This poor kid who, as I stated before, is mentally disabled, thought, as you brought into the example, he thought he had a friend who was supposed to be sticking up for him, and they all beat him up and blackened his eye and beat him senseless. The kid is scared. He doesn't want to even, from what I've last read, he doesn't even want to leave his house now because he's afraid. And I would think based on something like that, I would probably be afraid too.
He's traumatized,
exactly. He's somebody that he thought was his friend, is part of the group that beat him up, basically kidnapped him, tied him up, beat him up, and then put it for the entire internet to see live? What kind of person does that? And on top of that, for anybody, African-American or not, to use the white kid as the excuse or the impetus for the attack by spewing, we hate Trump, F white people, this is your fault, et cetera, et cetera. Of course that's a hate crime because they're spewing the hatred towards him in the first place. But then you have people that are online that are saying, well, all crimes could be considered hate crimes based on the fact that you must hate somebody to want to rob them or beat them up or rape them or whatever. And it's clearly defined based on what in that example happened. That's a hate crime. If I go to a Jewish person's house and I spray paint the most vile word that I can find to describe a Jewish person, that should be considered a hate crime.
Hate crime or prejudice or stereotyping?
Same thing.
It's a hate,
because
it's the same
it's,
thing.
It's, first of all, the example that I just gave you is vandalism, which is against the law. And if I'm vandalizing your house, that's a crime. And if I'm vandalizing you with hate speech, that is a hate crime. It doesn't necessarily have to be violence. It doesn't necessarily have to be something along those lines. It is a hate crime. If I am a white person and I go to an African-American's house and I spray paint the N-word on his house or his car or any property, that is a hate crime.
Okay, relax, Sean Black, relax. It's only a one-hour show, okay? It's only a one-hour show, relax. Don't worry, I'll be going to your house later. I'll be spraying something else. Sean loves white people. How about that?
There we go. Let me drink my chocolate shake.
I bet it is chocolate shake. Well, besides that, we got 20 minutes left. I need to get something off my chest. As the world knows, 111 million people watched the Super Bowl last night. It was not the greatest game ever, but it was an okay game. I'm laying down, I'm drinking, I'm relaxing, I'm enjoying three quarters of the game. I'm on social media, laughing my ass off, cracking up jokes, texting Sean, texting everybody else. This is it. 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, I start standing up. I'm walking back and forth. I'm talking to myself. My daughter's looking at me like I'm crazy. I had finished a bottle of the special juice within 5 minutes left of that game. How in the world you let Tom freaking Brady and the goddamn New England Patriots make the greatest comeback in football history of 25 points? So, Sean Black, Before I go have another drink, you have to pick one answer. Was this the greatest comeback or the greatest choke?
And that's the question
I know it's both, but you have to pick one.
I'm going to lean more towards the Atlanta Falcons absolutely choking. And I'm going to tell you why. When you look at both teams going in, we knew number one offense, number one defense. Both teams can score. Both teams were going to put up points. The game, for all intents and purposes, was over at the end of the first quarter. It was 21-0 going into the end of the first quarter. At the we're talking 8 minutes and change into the third quarter. As we stated before, the Falcons were up by 25 points. 25 points. So we saw Tom Brady do something in the Super Bowl that he has never done before, and that is throw a pick six. We thought this game, not only did we think the game was over from that sense, the field goal kicker, after they actually scored their first touchdown in the game,
the play kicker
hit the upright. There were so many things that happened. Tom Brady got sacked five times, three by one player, and
Jarrett.
Grady Jarrett, he did a tremendous job. He looked like, and I remember texting you and our friends in our text thread, that he's looking like Reggie White. He was all over the place. Brady couldn't see straight. And then what happened is the possession in the third quarter, which led to the score that the Patriots got, which was the fumble that Matt Ryan had as he was dropping back. He took the sack, he fumbled the ball, they got the ball back, and then the Patriots went down the field. What we saw was a complete and utter dissection of what was left of the Falcons' defense, meaning their secondary couldn't stop anyone. And if you looked at all of the holding penalties that they got, there was a drive in the, I believe it was the second quarter, the third quarter, they had three consecutive holding calls called against them. And I was looking at this, I'm like, you know what? This team is playing sloppy, but even more so they're playing scared and tired. And that's exactly what happened because Tom Brady threw the ball 62 times in the game. We also got, for the first time in NFL Super Bowl history, an overtime game. This game.
And once you saw the overtime, you knew that was it.
I knew the game was over after the 2-point conversion. When I said, look, the Falcons have a chance to make something happen here if they can get a stop. They didn't get a stop at all, that the ones that they needed to make. And then what I think helped propel this this Falcons team to where they got to was that absolutely ridiculous catch that was made.
Oh, goodness. That was bad.
Where the ball went in the air, hit one of the players' foot, hit his foot, was grabbed, and then caught just before it hit the turf.
I'm having a flashback right now. I can't take it. I'm about to throw up. But we have K-Dog on the line now. K-Dog, go ahead.
Screw the damn Patriots. Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, K-Dog.
Hey. Listen, look, I was watching the game, too, yesterday. And I could agree with Sean. And I could say, yes, this was I hate to say it because, you know, I can't stand the Patriots. I can't stand Tom Brady. Screw him, too. Middle finger up. But however, all I could say is that the Atlanta Falcons choked big time. You don't blow a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. That's inexcusable. That whole play, the plays that they did earlier in the two quarters were outstanding. I mean, those were some great plays. And, Sean, you will agree with me on this. Why the hell, in the first half, did the Atlanta Falcons go out there celebrating? The game wasn't even over yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were young, excited, inexperienced.
And stupid. You can't do that. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens. I mean, listen, you know when you start celebrating a game? When it's the end of the fourth quarter. Atlanta should have had this game won. And in the third quarter, what happened was that the defense went to sleep.
I have a question.
Sure.
Everybody hates Tom Brady because, you know, like he's laughing at everybody to the bank now, right? You know, he's telling everyone, go fuck yourselves. I'm going to get all these beautiful endorsement deals now all the way to the bank.
Basically.
You know, hate is a strong word, right? And we talk about hate today. I hate Tom Brady.
Like, what's the big deal about him? I don't get what the big deal is.
Not,
explain.
The Patriots is a team that everybody hates in football. There's like the Yankees in baseball.
They're cheaters.
But is it because he's associated with that team, or is it just him himself?
No, Tom Brady is a great player. Not the greatest of all time. He's a great player. I give respect.
I'll give him that.
For me, I cannot speak for the other guys. For me personally, I hate any team from Boston.
Oh, okay. Well, the New York thing, I get it. Okay.
Is it a New York thing? Is it more of a rivalry thing? But the Patriots think they're all that, which they prove they're all that. They've been to 7 Super Bowls. But for me, it's more of a rivalry thing because, you know, I hate the Boston Red Sox, the Boston Bruins, and I hate the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Listen.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, Anitra, I will say this. Had the New York Giants been playing yesterday, this would have never happened.
Well, I won't go that far.
I'm not going to go that far. Even with that being the case.
You know.
No, but I'll say this. Yesterday, yes, this was a great comeback by the Patriots because, you know, they came from behind a 25-point deficit to win it all. And in overtime, for the first time in Super Bowl history, we saw this in overtime. And I knew that game was going to – I knew they were going to shut down. I'm like, guys, what are you guys doing? The pressure was on. They were fumbling for the ball. They kept on missing runs. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. One of the things that the Falcons got away from was twofold. First of all, the secondary stopped playing man coverage. When they were playing man coverage on the Patriots receivers, they were completely locked up used. So they couldn't really get anything going. Two, the Falcons got away from what I had brought up in our text thread that they should have been doing, which is running the football.
When they ran the football
in the first half, the Patriots had no answer for anything, which was a big reason why they jumped on the Patriots so early. But I never thought I would be saying this, but Tom Brady was an absolute beast in the second half in overtime.
He was playing mind games. Notice he outsmarted them the way he threw the ball. He was like, "Okay, you're coming for me. All right, I'm going to toss it right here." And he knew who to throw the ball at.
Yes. He was absolutely focused. He played like he had vengeance on his mind. He played like he was a champion. And a lot of times, I think this particular Super Bowl, more than any other Super Bowl that we've seen the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in, this one is probably the one that defines Tom Brady. He's been in seven. This is the one that's going to define his career because he had to overcome so much. A 25-point deficit, then to play how he played in the third quarter, the fourth quarter, and in overtime.
Yeah, the third quarter, that's when he really showed up. And the fourth quarter, he was unstoppable, even
Think
in overtime.
That.
They knew what they were doing.
Over 245 yards in the third quarter. Over in the third quarter, fourth quarter, and overtime. Over 460 yards passing. He was absolutely tremendous, focused, and played like a beast.
And let's not forget to mention, he outplayed Atlanta. Ryan got outplayed big time. There was no answer for what Atlanta did. Atlanta, let's just say they choked. This was a big choke. I don't know how they're going to recover from this when it comes to regular season. This will always haunt them. Like, you guys had this game won. You guys were beaten by 25. Look how strong the defense was in the first quarter. And you mean to tell me in the second half of the game that you're going to shut down? This is not going to go away. They're always going to remember that.
And
I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that locker room as their coach chewed their asses out.
Oh, yes, he had to.
Yeah.
No, but he has to blame himself, too.
Matt Ryan, in the first half, had a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. a perfect. We were thinking about he was going to break Phil Simms' efficiency record in the Super Bowl the way he was playing, and then all of a sudden, he didn't get a chance with the ball. I mean, think about it. They had 93 plays as far as the Patriots to 60. I believe it's 62 or 63. The Falcons in general, they just didn't have the football. They barely had the ball in the second half.
They dropped the ball, but they dropped the ball. How many times did they drop the ball?
All right, hold on. So, Kato, we have a few minutes left. Kato, so what do you think about the about the jogger or the hate crime?
Okay, I'm just going to say this about the whole jogger. I'm looking at this kid. He looks scared. There has to be, I don't know, they're going to have to do a thorough investigation because I'm still not buying it that this kid actually did it. I could be wrong, but I'm being honest. But I can't see him doing something like that because where's the marks on his face? That's what I want to know, if she has DNA under her nails. And as for...
There wouldn't be marks. This happened in August.
Right.
It's February.
Yeah, but still, that
Why would there be scratches still? Scratches disappear in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, true, but... Still,
even
I mean,
more so, they could have been scars depending on if they were defensive wounds, if it, et cetera. And like I said,
yeah.
we don't
know.
Doesn't
mean he has scars.
We don't know.
Those
wounds would have
disappeared
that,
in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but we don't know particularly everything yet. That's what. Let's just wait and see because I'm still kind of skeptical about it. Now, with what happened in terms of the guy in Chicago, listen, a hate crime is a hate crime. Whether it is black on, whether it's someone attacking blacks, hey, we can't, you know, if they hate, we can't do what, we can't lower ourselves to that point. People may say, oh, an eye for an eye, yeah. But yet, at the same time, remember who the justice system goes for anyway. Now, in terms of the Super Bowl, I could say that the Atlanta Falcons choked, and it's going to be a tough time to get over that choke. Big time. And that's my final thought.
All right. Anisha, you sound like you're very defensive. Like, you think this kid really did it.
No, I'm not. I don't know if he did it or not, but it's just I find it amusing how people are just jumping to his defense and, and they said, like, they use these excuses. Oh, he has no marks on him. He looks scared. Of course he looks scared. He's facing murder charges. Anyone would be petrified, whether you did it or not. And, of course, he doesn't have marks on him. This happened months ago. If he did have any bruises or markings, they would be healed by now. They would be gone.
Okay, Sean.
So, to me, that's just an excuse. That's just an excuse that people are using.
Like I said, unless she left, the jogger left permanent scarring, which we, like we said before, we have no idea of knowing about because we're just learning about the arrest earlier today. If we're looking at the way this whole thing went down, a lot of people are going to look at it as, well, this is kind of convenient that we finally got this person involved and we finally got a suspect and we finally can see what happens from here. And why we heard of somebody that could have been a suspect, but they were let go because the DNA didn't match. We're going to have to find out through the DNA, through what the police say, and what else props up. We'll see if it can support what the police are going to say in this case and see what happens. And hopefully it's not one of those deals where they use the sympathy of the family to try and add extra to the case because we heard about the family. The father is a former firefighter, and the child was a lovely child and didn't do anything. And so we'll have to find out if there's any influence involved and how that influences public opinion as this case goes on. It is going to be a while before we get all of the evidence involved.
Okay, we got 5 minutes left. We covered a lot of topics. One main event topic I want to cover, and I have a secret about this. We have to, guys, have to talk about this major thing that happened last week. Beyonce is having twins.
I don't care.
Oh, man.
But I need to know. Is Sean the Harvard or K-Dog or Brother B or Milton X is the father?
Good. Oh, that would be interesting if Milton X was the father.
Oh, man.
I would pay to see that autograph.
Hell yeah, I would pay top dollar to see that.
But Anisha B, you say that you don't care. Imagine all the beehives, like all the media attention, took this away from Donald Trump last week. Like someone who's pregnant, okay?
I think it was also it was positive media. A lot of it has to do that it ate her. She has a huge fan base. Everybody knows this, and the fact. And she spun it in a positive way. You saw the picture she posted. She did a good. She did it the right way. I have to admit.
No, I have no problem with it. And I'm happy for her. I'm like, hey, you know, you got money.
Yeah.
I don't care. But you know, it's a beehive. It's a fans out there. Like, wait a minute. She's the one who's singing about her husband cheating and everything. So you have all these girls that are leaving their boyfriend and their husbands for other things. But she still stayed with her husband, and now she's pregnant with the guy again.
I told you a lot of it. I'm not saying she was completely full of shit, but I guarantee a lot of it was to boost her record sales so she could sell another album. I think she may have embellished a lot of it.
So Sean Black, there's still hope for you. After you cheating on me, I might come back to you after all.
See, there's always hope.
Yeah. The funny thing about this whole deal is that she wouldn't need this to sell records because she's going to sell records regardless. But
exactly. Something
that the rumor that was floating around was the fact that these pictures were taken a while ago. So there are a lot of people that are probably thinking that just
how long has
maybe,
she been pregnant?
And that's the thing. See, if we remember the controversy involved with her daughter, Blue Ivy, nobody saw the baby bump. She basically held up in a hospital and had her own wing at the hospital
She did show the baby bump during the MTV award show.
And then we had the controversy of did she have a surrogate, et cetera, et cetera. And that became a big story in and of itself. Now we have these pictures, and Beyoncé released these pictures herself, where she released them on her website and made sure that everybody knew about that through her website. And those pictures were well done.
And, of course, Donald Trump was upset that, you know, that Beyoncé took some spotlight off of him. Can you believe that?
Roll some balls, man. Come on, man. Get off it. Cry,
oh, well.
Baby.
You got 2 minutes left. Sean Black, anything you'd like to say?
Well, I think that what we're starting to see now as we're going into, what, week three of the Donald Trump presidency?
The circus, you mean?
Yeah. I heard a little bit earlier that there's either a congresswoman or somebody, an African-American woman, talking about we may start talking about impeaching the president.
Oh,
whether
we'll
that goes anywhere,
that.
I'm not sure. But I think what we need to do is try and make sure that the democracy that was voted in works and see where it goes, because this has turned into an absolute mess.
And in that case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am the High Rod with
Sean Black and
Anitra B.
And
the one and only K-Dog.
Well, tune in next Monday night for another crazy show where we'll probably be talking about Trump. But next week, I guarantee we will talk about relationships. We need to change up the topics and stop giving Trump all the attention in the world.
You need
there's a movie coming out that I'm going to be dragging all of you to come see because I want to go to the movies.
Yeah. Which movie is that?
It's
just
called
You Don't Need to Know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all for surprises, but if it's something that I don't like, I'll be like, God damn! I'll be like, oh damn!
No,
you owe me. You made me sit here and discuss football. You all owe me. All three of you.
Oh man!
I guess it's 50 Shades Darker then.
Oh man, 50 Shades. Oh man!
I hung up on Nietzsche B by mistake. Oh.
What?
Good night, everyone, and as always, the pleasure was all yours.
Oh my God. Good night, y'all.
Oh my God.
Good night, y'all.